letter with these thoughts. So at the end, he talks about growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then at the very beginning, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11, he is essentially praying for his readers. And he says in these verses, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Peter had a lot to say, a lot of meat to give in this short passage. We're going to focus on this passage this morning when we talk about the healthy Christian. Because the healthy Christian is going to be one that is growing and is going to be one that staves off infections and viruses and cancers that can infiltrate if we're not paying attention to what we should be doing in the Christian life. In this passage, Peter gives some incentives, some reasons why we want to pay attention to growing and being healthy in our spiritual life. In verse 2, he said that grace and peace are multiplied. So we talked about grace this morning, grace being supplied by God, that's his unmerited favor. Of course, any favor from God, our Creator, is something that we want multiplied, isn't it? Grace is that which God gave to us so that we might be saved, so that these infections, these sins, this immorality, this lack of knowledge, this lack of godliness that is in this land, that is in this world, that we'll have protection against it. That's what God's grace provides for us. That's what he gave to the world when his son died on the cross. Not only grace, but the peace that comes from that knowledge. The spiritual peace. Now, God never promised that peace would be here in this world. And so those that talk about peace in the world, yes, they have good intentions. But there will never be perfect peace in this world. In fact, Jesus said that he didn't come to bring peace. But for the spiritual person, for the Christian, Peter prayed, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. This is a part, this is a reason why we want to grow, why we want to be healthy. In verse 3, Peter spoke of life and godliness being provided to us. Now, when Peter talked about life and godliness, he talked about those things that pertain to it. Those things that pertain not only to the life we live here, but the life that is to come, and the godliness that should be exhibited here while we are here on earth. So he said, these also are reasons, incentives for growth. In verse 4, he talked about those great and precious promises that God has given. He says that these things allow us to be partakers of the divine nature, have a part, have an association with the Godhead, the nature of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, and that we can escape the corruption and the depravity that is in the world. Great incentives to try to be a healthy Christian, to try to keep growing. We can avoid these things. In a sense, there's a protection around us. Now again, these kind of things don't mean that the world will not affect our life and that we will be heaven on earth, so to speak. But that spiritually speaking, we can be protected. In our spiritual life, we can be protected. In verse 8, skipping a few verses, Peter would say that an incentive for growth is that fruitfulness is ensured. That is, as spiritual people, as Christians here on this earth, we don't need to worry about finding ourselves as useless, as barren. We can have an effect. Being a healthy Christian, being one that is growing, allows us to have a healing effect on those around us. Not by our own power, but by the power of God, and His Word, His knowledge, His love, His grace. Fruitfulness is ensured. We won't be useless through God's power. In verse 9, an incentive for growth, for being healthy Christians, is that we can avoid spiritual blindness, spiritual nearsightedness, and spiritual forgetfulness. You see, if we lack the growth and the health that we should have as Christians, and oftentimes, our souls are filled with guilt and forgetfulness about the things that have happened to us in the past. You know, we haven't always been children of God, have we? There was a time when we were not children of God. But being able to grow and be healthy Christians allows us to remember these things, to remember where we came from, to remember where those around us are, and again, to be able to help them, and to remember that we were purged from our sins as well. In verse 10, Peter talked about never stumbling. These next few verses, 10 and 11, are kind of hard for me to understand. And I'll admit that I don't fully grasp all the meaning. But if I was to ask, you know, the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter, or even if I was able to ask God directly, how can I assure myself of never stumbling? How can I assure myself in verse 11 of having an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ? Peter answered it. Now, there is no way as humans that we can attain perfection here on this earth. But that doesn't mean that we don't strive for it. That doesn't mean that we don't strive for that maturity and that completeness as a goal in our Christian lives. That goal is what the growth moves toward. That goal of maturity, that goal to never stumble, to be in a place of never stumbling, and to obtain an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the incentives that Peter has given to us in this passage. The incentives of being healthy Christians, of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we realize we must develop some qualities. And these qualities are developed in harmony with each other. In verse 5 of this passage, Peter said, giving all diligence. Now in the Greek, this phrase, giving all diligence, represents a noun for diligence. And that is the idea that each of the qualities that Peter is going to talk about here supplement each other. They are laid alongside each other. And they supplement each other alongside this diligence, this perseverance, if you will, this working at, the struggle. So that's what this diligence means. It's not something that just happens. It's something that needs to be worked at, something that needs to be practiced. And so as we go through these qualities briefly this morning, we want to keep in mind that, again, Peter is giving us this knowledge, these qualities, so that we might practice them and we might put them into our lives in order to grow and to be healthy Christians. First, he talks about faith. Faith is that trust and conviction in what God says is true. We'll put faith right here. For the Christian, this trust and this conviction in what God has promised us and what He has given us, this is our foundation. So this represents what God has given to us. And this represents our trust and our conviction in what God has given and done for us. This is God's side. This is our side. That's what faith is. Now, people often who consider themselves religious, spiritual Christians, they will often say, I have faith. But the question is, do they really? I think when they say, I have faith, they may, and I'm not going to say this for sure, but they may be thinking in their mind what they're really meaning is, I have belief. I believe that God has said these things, that God has promised these things. I believe that God has done these things. But we want to be careful with putting our whole growth and health as a Christian on belief. Because our brother James would say that even the demons believe and tremble. Belief is not faith. Belief is a part of faith. But belief is not all that faith is. Faith is a foundation. Faith is a starting point. And James would remind us that faith is dead without works. Now, faith is what brings us to accept the salvation that God has given to us through His grace. So Peter starts with faith. That's like the foundation of our growth and our development and our health. But then he talks about virtue. He says, to this faith, add virtue or supplement with virtue. Now remember, he also said at the beginning to be diligent, that is to practice these things, work at them, put them into your life. Virtue, other translations translate this as moral excellence, an excellent morality, so to speak, a goodness. It's the same as what Peter mentioned in verse 3 when he said that this is our calling, so to speak, hath called us to glory and virtue, to a moral excellence. You can write virtue right here. Supplementing virtue to faith. A lot of people say that they have virtue, that they're good, that they're moral people, but they don't have the faith that is required, the faith in God, the trust and conviction. And so Peter places faith first as what he wants to talk about in this growth, as the foundation. And then second in that, he says virtue, moral excellence, a goodness. Yes, as Christians, we must be good people. We must be moral people. And we must practice that in our life to grow and to be healthy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul wrote, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that the Apostle Paul recommended we think on. So not only are we to practice it, but we are to think about morality, about goodness. So often, the world tempts us to think otherwise, doesn't it? Virtue, supplement to our faith. I like the way, you know, when I was looking up that word add to, that it mentions supplement, because, of course, we talk about vitamin supplements in our life in order to try to be healthy. And in a way, we can think of these as the same thing. These qualities we can think of as spiritual vitamins in our life. Help us to grow, help us to be healthy. The third thing that he talked about was knowledge. Adding knowledge to our virtue. Supplementing our virtue and faith with knowledge. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul wrote, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. At the end, Peter wrote about grace and knowledge over here. And I believe that, you know, not only was he saying that grace is supplied by God, but that ultimate knowledge also is supplied by God. And Paul would reiterate that here, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge come from God, the Father, and of Christ. But we as Christians are to supplement our faith and our virtue with knowledge. Now, this knowledge is the exact same knowledge. But God has provided it. We need to obtain it and practice it in our spiritual lives. How do we do that? We know. Taking God's word, reading it, meditating upon it, praying about it, practicing it in our lives, applying it. Supplement our faith and virtue with knowledge. He then goes on to talk about temperance. Temperance, other translations call it discipline of mind and body, self-control. Peter was very deliberate in talking about this quality, I believe, after knowledge. Because untempered knowledge is dangerous. But tempered knowledge gives wisdom. So, discipline of the mind and body, self-control. We can take the knowledge that God has given to us, the faith that God has given to us, the virtue that God calls us to, and we can apply it untempered. And by doing so, we can do great harm. And so, I believe Peter was deliberate when he gave temperance at this point. He wants our knowledge, our faith, our virtue to be under control. The control that Jesus exhibited with his faith in God, with his moral excellence, with his knowledge, unbounding. Jesus often tempered that in his actions and in his character. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, this is Paul before Felix. And as he, that is Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." This is a simple verse, but the mention of temperance in there tells me that temperance is something that is a big part of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Next, Peter wrote about patience. This is bearing up under trials. This is perseverance. This is being steadfast and strong in our Christianity. James talked about this in chapter 1, verse 3. He said, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience," that is perseverance and steadfastness. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, Paul said, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." And so, even doing the will of God, we need steadfastness, we need perseverance alongside of that to receive the promise. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 19, "In your patience possess ye your souls." He also talked about godliness. This is another supplement to our health as a Christian. This is doing all to please God. This is being godlike. Our best example of godliness, of course, is Jesus Christ. And that is who we're called to be like as Christians. Jesus Christ exhibited every quality of God here in this earth. And I would say except for one. And I'll give that one in a moment. But as Jesus exhibited the qualities of God, so are we to exhibit those same qualities. Compassion, mercy, joy. I think the one thing, one quality of God that Jesus did not exhibit here on this earth, and that is because it wasn't time, was vengeance, judgment, condemnation. And I would hope that we would let that also be an example to us. Because God has reserved that quality for himself. And in fact, I'm thankful that I don't have to be godlike in that aspect. Next, he said, mentioned the supplement of brotherly kindness. I think that our congregation here does very well in this. We strive to not be divisive. We strive to help each other. We don't always have the same ideas about something. Sometimes we may go stronger in one thing than another, or stronger in one thing than another brother or sister would. But in these things, we always try to exhibit brotherly kindness. Hebrews chapter 13 and 1, Paul would encourage to let brotherly love continue. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, Paul said, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, Peter said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Finally, he talked about charity. And we know this simply as a serving love. This is the love that God has for us, that Jesus exhibited here on this earth. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul encouraged, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul wrote, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." In verse 10 of our passage at the beginning of 2 Peter, Peter wrote, "Give diligence." Now in verse 5, he talked about diligence as a noun. But in verse 10, he uses diligence as a verb, as an action. Give diligence. This is the idea of being diligent in what is coming after because of what has been spoken of before. Now again, what did he talk about before? These qualities, these supplements that we have given on the board. What did he talk about after? Making our calling and election sure. If we are to do that, We need to strive for growth. We need to strive for health as Christians. And I would encourage us this morning that we would take these supplements that Peter has given to us and apply them to our Christian life. We aren't going to be perfect in each and every one of these. We're going to be at different levels. But the goal should be perfect maturity in each of these. Again, that's nothing more than simply striving to be like Christ. And so, take these with us. Apply them to our life. Think on them. Meditate them on them. Continue to study God's word about them. This is our lesson this morning. I do want to do a little bit more on the board here. So I talked about faith quite a bit earlier, and I mentioned that faith is not the same as belief. But belief is a part of faith. Demons believe, yes, and they tremble. People believe, and it causes them to action. Belief leads to repentance. Taking the life that was before, as Peter wrote about, those old sins, and purging them from our life. Christ talked about confessing his name before men. And he would confess our name before his Father. That's a promise that Christ gave. And so confessing the name of Christ, that he is the Son of God, is a part of faith. Just like belief and repentance. And then finally, being baptized through a watery grave into the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, coming up out of that grave, being baptized for the remission of our sins. This is the plan of salvation. This is the result of the grace that God gave through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the faith, the trust, the conviction that we have in God's promise. If we are of a mind to obey this plan of salvation this morning, or if we are a Christian who maybe has fallen away from our faith in God, we know as a Christian that we can come back. That we can come back repenting, confessing our sin, and having the brethren pray for us and with us that God will forgive us and come back to the fold, come back to the faith. One of either case this morning, will you come while we stand and sing?